Welcome to the Matthew Carroll Podcast. I'm Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Spencer Roeder.
So, everybody, the main purpose behind this podcast is to talk about this new album that I've got coming out. A lot of you guys who have made your way here know me as a... you may know me as a podcaster on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast or Pursue the Trivial, or you may know me as a friend or as a musician who plays around town, but I am putting out an album on February 1st, and we're going to try to talk about that album. Today's going to be kind of an introduction, just kind of what we plan to do with this show, and then we're going to do a track-by-track discussion of the album and kind of give you a little story to go along with every song and kind of give you my insights into what the songs mean or whatever. I mean, that's kind of a dangerous thing. I don't know. Like I said, this is an experiment. I may get on, do this and hate it and delete it.
Well, mostly they'll be my insights. I think you're leading people the wrong way.
Oh yeah. So, and as you heard his voice there, that's Spencer Roeder. Spencer is my good friend, longtime podcast partner, longtime art partner. Honestly, we've been doing art together since like. Was 16, 17 years old?
Somewhere there. Yeah, I was actually wondering how much we were going to get into. technically, I knew Matt before he was writing songs. And
that's true.
I don't know why. It always sticks out to me that there was a point early on that Matt was thinking about playing guitar and singing. And he broke a string on his guitar and gave up guitar completely. And learn to play the drums.
That's true. That is very true.
And like, so,
boing, one string break, and that's all it took to divert my guitar playing for another like 5 years.
Yeah, we were both trying to learn at the same time, and so just based on one string breaking, which the string had to be like 10 years old anyway.
Oh yeah, it was my dad's guitar, I think. And I did not know how to replace it. My dad's kind of a jackass, and wasn't going to teach me anything about a guitar. And the internet didn't exist yet, so I didn't know how to change a string.
just to give you, I know this is getting way off topic already.
No, it's okay.
But, just to give the audience an idea of what Matt's talking about with his dad not wanting to teach him how to play guitar, it went further than that. One night, we all decided we were shaving our heads. And Matt basically tried to shave his head from a long hair to straight bald,
yeah,
with just a razor. And he cut, yeah, his head up bad and all this stuff. And as soon as Matt was done and had already gotten bloody and, you know, nicked his head up a bunch, his dad said, "Oh, I've got clippers for you guys."
Yeah, he came
so
out.
I got to use clippers.
After he saw me like bleeding from the head, he'd seen me shaving my head the whole time. He knew we were doing it. And and I got my hair all bloodied from using a regular old Bic razor trying to make my whole head bald from super long hair. And yeah, he comes out, "Hey, yeah. Oh, I have these buzzers that you can use, these clippers that, you know, make it a lot easier." Like, yeah, that, yeah, does make it a lot easier for everyone but me. Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
My dad's not the most thoughtful all the time.
but that goes far off the topic, obviously.
You know, it introduces my dad as a character, and I'm sure as we talk about my songwriting, my dad will come back as a character at some point. I don't know I don't know about on this album, but there's definitely songs that that include him. So maybe we'll get there.
Yeah. So I've known Matt for a long time. He's gone on and off writing songs, learning to play guitar, whatnot. And then you had a long stretch of not really writing very much.
Yeah. I started playing for a living. And basically, all that time I used to spend like being creative and writing, I kind of poured into learning other people's music. And I think like there's something to be said for that. I think like it was a part of my songwriting journey to spend about 5 years just studying other pop music, you know, in a lot of ways that was me doing imitate, you know, all artists kind of start out by imitating and in a very literal sense with musicians, or especially early musicians, like, you know, in early recording days, like the Beatles, they put out whole albums of covers, you know, and that's not really done today, but I still, being a cover musician, I think is super valuable to learning, learning the art form and learning the process. And so I've been a cover musician for a living for about 7 or 8 years, and I kind of got to where that was, that makes me an okay living, and I love doing it, and I do a lot of private events and things. But I think the thing that pushed me out of that, and the start of this album began with a health scare a few years ago. I used to, you know, do weddings and do, you know, club shows and sing all the time. And I used to sing about six or seven shows a week. And I'm talking like four hour performances. And so my voice had got, you know, it gets tired, but, it always recovered. And one week it just didn't recover. And, kind of what led me to really putting the effort into this album was I had went to the doctor, found out I had a vocal polyp on my vocal cord, and you know, it just made me realize, you know, you have those experiences that make you think about your mortality. This was like an experience that made me think about my vocal mortality.
Your vocal mortality.
Yeah, you know, I realized that, especially if I keep doing 6 days a week, 4 hours a day, in smoky bars. At the time, smoking was still legal in all the bars and restaurants, and so, well, all the bars, some of the restaurants. And so I just couldn't, I just realized that I wasn't going to be able to do this forever, you know? And something that, the reason I started doing this, my passion when I started doing music was to write. It wasn't just to play covers, and I still love doing covers. It's the best job I've ever had, and I love doing it, but, you know, it's really realizing that my time with my voice is limited, especially if I don't take care of it, especially if I keep doing these long cover shows. And I wanted to make an album. I wanted to really express some of the writing that I'd always wanted to do. Express my own ideas, both musically and lyrically, you know?
Yeah, I think there's even, we'll get to them, but there's even a couple songs that hint towards the vocal problems, like to the point, and when he says he had a polyp, but like, I guess I didn't know anything about it before he had it. He had to like pretty much be mute for like a couple months or something.
Yeah,
like that. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't a quick thing.
No, I had to have laser surgery on my vocal cords, which was scary because I said that like everybody knows what a vocal polyp is, and I didn't even really. It's just something that singers are scared of, because once you have it, they can take them off, they can cut them off, they can laser them off, they can do all kinds of things, but depending on how they heal, your vocal cords just may never sound the same again.
Yeah, and yours actually, you changed a little bit. You got like a little bit of a lower register than you used to.
Yeah, a lot of that was through, I was dealing with a vocal coach through all of it, and as an attempt to help me sing more healthfully, he expanded my range so that I speak and sing a little bit lower, but I also sing higher. Actually, my voice got lower and higher through the process, and I think more healthy. I hope, and also I just started restricting myself, even if it means I don't make that much money 1 week. I started only playing 3 shows a week, sometimes 4. 4 is like my absolute limit, but 3 is most weeks, and so 3 3-hour shows, and then I'm done, and I rest, and I let my voice heal, and so there's a lot less possibility of that just damage compounding over time and causing those same problems. So I'm hoping I have it for a long time, but if I don't, I wanted to get this album out, you know?
Yeah, and there was a real chance or fear, at least, that you were not going to be able to sing after your surgery and after this vocal polyp thing.
Yeah, for sure. Those are real... A real fear that luckily was not realized, but it still, that fear was still in me, that it could happen again and I could lose my voice at any time, you know?
A little bit of a funny thing too about the album that I just thought was funny because I was a little bit involved in the behind the scenes on it, but like Matt's girlfriend knew that he had wanted to write an album for a long time and had kind of put off writing songs. I mean, he wrote like, you know, maybe a couple songs a year for several years.
Yeah, I really had a dry spell.
Yeah, not a lot. Not for, you know, somebody who wanted to make an original album at some point. And so she had conspired, well, sort of conspired with me. And she, I mean, it was really her idea, but I gave her some ideas to go along with it of getting you like a songwriting kit for Christmas mm-hmm. that involved getting you reserving a cabin in the woods for you to work. And then you frustrated her by actually producing music right before she gave it to you.
She was like, okay, Matt really hasn't written songs. And I mean, when I get into the mode of writing, I will sit down for an entire day and just write. And I'll write 3 or 4 songs in a day. And I'll really just put all myself into it. But I hadn't done that in years, and it really had turned into like maybe a couple songs a year. It was just really, really dry. And a lot of that was because I was working so much on music that when I had free time, it wasn't what I wanted to do. I wanted to do other things. And I turned to other creative outlets like podcasting. Right as she had this big orchestrated plan to send me out to a cabin where I could work on writing my album that I kept, you know, talking about, I just, some reason, got the gusto in myself to finally put in the work. And I think I wrote like 12 or 13 songs that net in 1 month. And then she was like, okay, Matt, I'm going to go ahead and tell you about this because you're kind of ruining my plan. You have a cabin you're going away to write songs for an entire week. I just need you to know about it. I was like, oh, wow. Okay. And she was like, I didn't want to like you to write 20 or 30 songs and me give you this whole cabin experience. Then you go, well, I've already written all my album. I'm not really needing to go to the- I don't need your songwriting present. She got me all kinds of books and writing utensils and, you know, a song idea book. She gave me a couple song idea books, and you, Spencer, gave me one of the best gifts for that Christmas. You gave me a specific to me songwriting idea book. Like,
I forgot about that.
We've known each other so long. You gave me a little book that was just like song ideas that were actually stories from my life. And so that was really, really helpful in the writing process. I don't remember if any of the ones on the album came from that, but I definitely wrote a few out there. So over the course of those few months, I wrote, I have hundreds of songs that I've written over the years, but in the course of those couple months, I added about 30 something to my catalog, and a lot of those ended up on the album. So that's really the impetus of this album came from the vocal polyp, and then finally I took the time off and the time I needed to write, and I wrote and wrote and wrote, because I really didn't want to write an album that was just, so it was just filler from my life, you know, like I was looking at the songs I had and I had plenty of songs to make an album, but I didn't want any filler. So I decided to just really put in the effort to write new stuff. And some of the old stuff made it, some of the new stuff made it. And I'm sure we'll talk about that as we go through this whole process of the album.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll get into whether a song was from the older or newer.
Yeah, because there's songs that are 10 years old, and there's songs that were written on that, you know, cabin retreat, you know.
And there were some good songs that got cut for sure. So
yeah, which was actually kind of my rule of thumb for when I was finished writing, if I had to get rid of my darlings, you know, isn't that a Vonnegut quote, "Kill your darlings"?
I think it's Stephen King. I think it's a Stephen King thing.
Oh, for some reason, I thought it was Vonnegut. I feel less cool for it being a Stephen King thing. but no, still, I think that when you're editing, you kill your darlings. You destroy things that you might want to keep, but they're not, you know, they're not helping this overall story. And I wanted to get to the point where I had so many good songs that to make a good 12-track album, I had to cut things out that I wanted to be in there. I wanted there to be like an embarrassment of riches, you know, so that the ones that made it, like, made the cut, and like at the detriment of good songs, you know, that had to be cut.
And actually, a couple of my favorite ones got cut, which, you know, not that I don't like what you did with the rest of it, and I don't know if they fit into this particular album,
right?
But,
well, that was something we got into a lot in January and February after I'd written everything. me and you spent a lot of time on the phone talking about like what is this album going to be, and I had to kind of make the decision of what kind of album I wanted to make, because I had sort of different styles that I'd written in. My favorite band is Weezer. I guess I should kind of give a little background on my musicality. My favorite band is Weezer, and that kind of like 90s alternative rock sort of sound is my favorite stuff. I love Ben Folds. I love Weezer. I like Death Cab for Cutie. I like, you know, that kind of indie rock sort of thing of the late 90s, early 2000s, and early 90s. I basically had to make the decision because I had a lot of stuff that sounded like that. And then I had this sort of groovy, acoustic, Jack Johnson-y, almost country feeling material. Oh, yeah. Well, that was actually a third. I had this also sort of bluesy material. And I kind of considered those the three prongs of this writing process I'd done. I had like this bluesy material, this, you know, 90s rockish material, and this country material. And I was trying to decide where to weight the album. And a lot of songs ended up getting cut when I just finally decided, you know what, the band I want to make, like the, if I'm going to go on tour and if I'm going to release an album that's mine, that I, is me and who I want to be, I want it to be my favorite stuff. And so I ended up keeping the stuff that was most like, Ben Folds and Weezer, and sort of that like Everclear is another one that I grew up on loving, like that just sort of alt rock power pop sort of sound, kind of good pop music with good electric guitars. That's like always been my favorite. It's been my jam, and so I wanted to release that kind of an album. So a lot of the cuts weren't made because the songs weren't good. They were made because the album wanted to take that kind of form. And I still kept a couple of songs from a couple of bluesy songs and a couple of kind of acoustic-y, Jack Johnson-y, I guess, songs.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it was they were cut because it would hurt my feelings. I think that's what happened.
Yeah, that's true. A couple of times. Well, no, see, here's the thing. You never gave me your list. I asked you to give me your list of songs you thought were the ones, and I probably would have given them a little weight. But you never actually gave your list, and then I cut them, and you were like, those were all on my list. And so I'm kind of glad, because at least I got my pure album out, and then I didn't like intentionally cut ones I knew you wanted in there. That's funny.
Well, I think this is a good spot to in this episode, and
yeah. So
you know, we're gonna, next episode you're gonna get to hear the first track on the album.
Yeah, and we're gonna talk intensely about the first track and where it came from, and we're just gonna go through track by track. So please subscribe, stick around. This is the Matthew Carroll Podcast. If you'd like to know more about my music, go to MatthewCarrollMusic.com. You can sign up on my email list there. There's music, there's videos, some live videos. We've got some really cool videos coming very soon, like actual music videos, as it were, that I'm actually producing myself, which is super stressful. I'm sure we'll talk about it on a future episode. But yeah, thank you, Spencer, for being here.
Yeah, man, not a problem.
We'll be back on the next episode with next one on her list, which is the first song on the album. I hope you guys all hang out for that.
See you guys next time.